This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, airing live on WRKF tonight, as in Friday night, and online. I know some are listening as we are producing this show at our usual time. Foster Campbell with us for another segment, the veteran public service commissioner, and the last of the great Louisiana populists, a Democrat who will be running for re-election next year to the PSC, and Scott Wilfong, who handles many Republican candidates in Louisiana, and he is here saying that Eddie Rasponi, the GOP stalwart, the standard bearer in this race, has a shot of unseating the incumbent John Bel Edwards. Now, last night, President Trump was in Bossier City in Foster Campbell's backyard, stumping for Eddie Lee Rasponi, with a lot of conservative Republicans cheering mightily. And here's how it sounded with Donald Trump in Bossier City.
He's a tool of Nancy. He's a tool of Chuck. He's probably even a tool of that guy, Adam Shifty Schiff.
Okay. Adam Schiff, who's the guy heading the impeachment proceedings, which is why we are being preempted in the morning. And Foster, is it really fair to connect John Bel Edwards with some of the people who are noted to be on the left side of the political spectrum?
That's just Trump talking. I mean, you know, Trump also said he was against the Second Amendment. The guy's had guns all his life. You know that. And he said I don't know, everything he says, this man is, look, this guy will say anything. And it all goes out the window. Of course, he's not anybody's tool. He's trying to do what he thinks is right. He's as moderate as you can be, you know, so whatever he said. And by the way, I could tell you, I'm sitting in my office now, and I could see where Trump was last night, and I heard a lot of things he said. And he also talks about how great the economy is, but like we talked about earlier, nobody talks about the deficit. And my dad used to tell me something, you can always spend more money than you can make. And that's exactly what we're doing, and it's pitiful business. Anybody that says that you don't worry about a deficit is out of their mind, because it always catches up when the economy goes down and you got a huge deficit. Then what do you say? Uh-oh, and it's too late. So you pay your bills, everybody, and I'm preaching to the saved now. The Republicans have, that's their whole deal, pay your bills. Spending's gone wild. John Bel has paid his bills. We got a balanced budget. Under Bobby Jindal, he left us with a hole, $2 billion hole.
All right. Now, this election, of course, has all kinds of repercussions. In 2023, there will be a governor's election. And if Eddie Rasponi is the candidate seeking reelection, it would seem that the Democrats would be hard-pressed to find somebody who could unseat him. And it would be a case in which the Republicans of note would probably stay at homes. The people like John Kennedy and Garrett Graves, and go down the list, Mike Johnson, Jeff Landry, Billy Nungesser, Mike Strain. Scott, they're probably secretly hoping that John Bel Edwards wins. What do you think?
Well, there's no doubt that some of those folks' interests would be better served as far as their political ambitions. But, you know, I mean, as far as I know, all those folks are endorsing Rasponi and behind him. It's 4 years goes by very fast. So, you know, I think that, you know, this talk of the supermajority in the legislature and all that, I think that that's really kind of much ado about nothing, because it's still going to be, you know, you're still going to have Republicans that would, even if they have two-thirds, they're going to peel off on certain votes. It's not a two-thirds conservative majority. It would be a two-thirds Republican majority. And, you know, I think they will get to that, but it's going to be about, you know, everything will change depending on who wins tomorrow. If it's John Bel Edwards, then you're going to see, you know, more stable, more, you know, I hate to say low-key, but the next 4 years might be a little more low-key. If Rasponi wins, it's going to be about the Constitutional Convention and big sweeping changes.
Well, what would a second term for Governor Edwards look like, Foster Campbell? I asked Scott Wilfong about a Rasponi administration, but as you know, governors in their second terms often have problems. How would this governor deal with being a lame duck?
I think he has to come out bold. I think he has to come out with some not being playing it safe. I mean, he can't run again. He needs to do something. Say, look, I got a plan to to do some great things about Louisiana. It's bold. We can either try this or we can just be steady here. And I don't. He would be crazy if he doesn't try something bold. Because does he want to go out as just a governor that got reelected and didn't really accomplish a whole lot? Or does he want to have some real new bold ideas to do something for the state of Louisiana, get rid of the income tax? Now, we talked about that, but you got to have money to get rid of the income tax. So where do you get the money?
Well, there's
everybody knows where to get the money, but they don't have the courage to step on out there and say, we're going to get the money from this particular situation. It's not going to break them. They're not going to leave the state. I'm going to give the people an option.
Well, that there's the problem. If John Bell is reelected and he tries to come out with much, he is more of a tax and spend Democrat than Rasponi would be, a different party and everything. But I think you would see him fail. Quite honestly, I don't want to sound ugly, but I don't think he'd get anything done, because that's where the 2/3 majority would really block him on any of those attempts to increase revenues, and might force him. You know, you might even see an override of a veto if he tried to step out too boldly. So that's why I think it'll be low key, quite honestly, because I don't think a lot's going to get done if John Bell's reelected.
Now, Tracy at the Capitol, listening online, asks about Rasponi's decision to debate only once. He did debate once, but only once. And also, Tracy notes that when John Kennedy won his Senate seat a few years ago, he refrained from debating Foster Campbell. I think we're hearing why. But yeah. Would it have served Rasponi better to have debated more than once?
Well, it'll be easy to say hindsight if he loses tomorrow. I think this was not, you know, people have to remember this was not a U.S. Senate race where it was a decision about who's going to go sit in the United States Senate and cast votes on things like Supreme Court justices and big philosophical differences. This is a governor's race. I think Rasponi, Rasponi did not do a great job in that debate. Came across kind of angry, and John Bell quite honestly won. So. Yeah, I think he would have done better to at least go one more debate. I would have advised him to do one more debate.
Well, Foster Campbell, it worked for John Kennedy, who, of course, is a man once said, Neil Gladner, the most dangerous place in America is to get between John Kennedy and a television camera. But he did not want any part of it. He didn't want to debate you. I wonder why, Foster Campbell.
Because John Kennedy didn't want to answer why he was for the left of the left of Teddy Kennedy, when he had Earl Long's picture on the wall, and now he's become Hee-Haw's favorite jokester. Kennedy can do anything. I said once before, and I'll say it again, John Kennedy's been everything but a Baptist preacher, and he could do that. And when the going gets tough now, when the going gets tough, you'll see Kennedy, he'll be the first rat jumping off the ship. He won't stay hooked to Trump. He's hooked to him right now because Trump's popular. But the second Trump starts stumbling, John Kennedy will have every reason in the world to jump off the ship. You can mark my words.
Now, did I hear you right? You said he had Earl Long's picture on his wall?
Absolutely. I went to see John Kennedy one time. He had Earl Long's picture behind his desk, not just on the wall. And I asked him, I said, John, where do you have Earl Long's picture there? Foster, that's the new politics. It's the black people and Hispanics coming in Louisiana. Now, that's the John Kennedy day that's baptized in Republicanism and Donald Trump. The same fella, John Kennedy, the guy that walks down the street with a $1,000 suit on, and he talks like he's a guest star on Hee Haw now. That's the same fella.
Now, John Kennedy, I think he will run for re-election to the Senate in 2022, and that he will win, and that he will not run for governor in 2023 because, Scott, he will be gearing up for the 2024 presidential election. Are we going to have the second coming of Senator John Kennedy to the White House?
I don't think so. I don't know John personally like I do some of the other officials, but I just get from everything that he absolutely loves it. He's in heaven being in the U.S. Senate, and he can quite honestly stay there till he dies. Because he's not going to vote bad. He's going to continue to cast votes just like, you know, everybody says, well, how did David Vitter get reelected? He voted right when he was in the U.S. Senate. He met his fate when he tried to do something else, when he tried to run for governor. As long as you're in the U.S. Senate and voting right, conservatives in Louisiana will will basically put up with anything. And so I don't think John Kennedy wants to go anywhere.
I have a question I'd like to ask you, Scott.
Yes.
And this is appalling to me. What about the little guy over in Alabama that Trump talked about like a dog? Talked about him like a dog. And he was his attorney general.
Jeff
Sessions. And now he's Grop. What's his name?
Sessions. Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
Yeah, he talked about him like a dog. And now the little guy's on his knees begging Trump to get back in the United States Senate. And what about Lindsey Graham? Come on, man. Lindsey Graham was John McCain's best friend. And now he's a little puppy tap dancing behind Trump. After he talked about his friend like a dog, the man was a war hero, and Trump criticized him, and Lindsey Graham is just like a little sniffling puppy now behind Trump. What kind of great leadership is that? And do they vote right to stay in the Senate? Is that what you call voting right to have?
All right. His Foster's revved up.
Yeah. The only thing I can say is there must be something behind the closed doors of that Capitol that we don't know about, because I will agree with Foster that people seem to – they will crawl over broken glass to stay in that office, and it doesn't seem like that great a job to me. I know there's only 100 of them in the whole world, but it is amazing what people will do and the crow they will eat and everything just to stay in office up there. So it must be pretty good.
And both sides, of course, are capable of compromise, and some would say way beyond compromise, as we saw in the impeachment proceedings with President Clinton. All the Democrats voted with Clinton. Most of the Republicans voted against him, and this time around it's an exact reverse, and we'll be following the impeachment proceedings right here. We'll see what happens tomorrow. We encourage you to vote, and we thank Scott Wilfong and Foster Campbell. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll be back after this timeout.